This podcast contains our own personal views not associated with any organisation. Coronial contains descriptions of death inquests that may be graphic and disturbing to some listeners. Discretion is advised. Welcome back to Coronial, everyone. I'm Georgie.
I'm Atlas.
And I'm Emma.
All right, today I am going to be discussing the death of Ms. Michelle Maitland. She was a 19-year-old who was an active gymnast. She had previously been a level 6 women's artistic gymnast, but in the 2 years prior to her death had begun to participate in non-competitive recreational adult gymnastics classes. She participated in those classes twice a week. So these classes were adult classes that had no formal structure to them, and so participants were just encouraged to progress at their own pace and did this under the supervision of accredited coaches.
Mm-hmm.
She attended Gymnastics Townsville, which was the location that she was going, and was coached by a gymnast who had been a former level 9 gymnast, level 10 being the highest that you can achieve. And they were also a past national champion.
Wow.
That individual, that coach, had also had a 5 years experience as a coach as well. On the evening of the 18th of June 2009, Ms. Maitland attended a class where there were about 10 participants total. It started with the standard warm-up and then some stretching, and then they were free to participate and practice on equipment as they wanted, with the ability to ask for assistance from the coach where necessary, depending on what they were doing and understanding their own level of ability.
So would these be all people who had some level of gymnastics training previously, like as children, or could they be adults new to gymnastics?
Typically it was adults that, you know, had been gymnasts in the past or had done some gymnastic activity. There was, I guess, some sort of expected level of knowledge implied in the inquest that you weren't just showing up.
It wasn't like a beginner's adult class.
Yeah.
And it was an adults class, like an open age kind of class rather than,
And by the sounds of it, everyone was just there to kind of have fun, like do whatever they wanted to do.
It was access to a gymnasium with gymnastics equipment and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, essentially. So on this evening, there was a new attendee to the class, but it didn't necessarily say that they were unexperienced in, in gymnastics. So I'm getting the sense that it was, you still had to have some level of knowledge and expectation there. But the coach then did give sort of special attention to that individual so that they could then supervise them throughout that first class for them, gain the understanding of where that person was at in terms of their experience and ability.
Yep.
But yet remained also then vigilant of the other gymnasts and was still there to ensure those other gymnasts were able to complete activities within their ability or get assistance where needed and that kind of thing.
Yep.
But it did mean that specifically on that evening, the coach's main focus was probably on this new individual.
On the other person. Yep.
So during the class, Miss Maitland began practicing a gymnastic sequence on something called the tumble track. This is a 10-meter long and 2-meter wide trampoline bed that is then suspended 60 centimeters from the ground.
Okay.
At the end, there's a landing zone with crash mats, and these crash mats are 30 centimeters thick, and there's two, so one stacked on top of the other. And they're about 1.8 meters by 3.6 meters. And from what I can gather from the photo, the 3.6.
This is a long way?
Yeah. So that you've got that room. Oh, yeah, because it's only a 2 meter wide track. So, yeah, it was the 1.8 wide. Yeah, and then the 3 is long. Yeah.
Is it on the end of the trampoline bed or is it just past it on the, like, solid ground again?
Well, it's essentially in line with the end of the trampoline bed because the trampoline bed is 60 centimeters off the ground. So when you stack the two 30-centimeter mattresses, it's then up against that trampoline.
Level. And then I'm assuming there'd still be a gap between the trampoline bed and the mats because you know how there's usually that, like, the coil?
There isn't any coil
there's
around
no
this
coils
photo.
With a little mat over the top?
No, there's no coils around the very end. There's, like, mats on the sides of the trampoline, like the side edges, but there doesn't appear to be mat at the end. It's just an open-end trampoline with the mats pushed up against it. And then additionally to those thick crash mats that were stacked on top of each other, there were other foam mats called scatter mats that were actually along the side edges of the crash mat. So outside of that 2 meter width, there were some more mats as well. But these were very thin. They were only like 5 centimeters and they weren't really used for actually landing on. They were just there as extra protection.
Yeah, just in case you were doing some sort of trick and you accidentally went sideways instead of forwards.
Yeah. At the end of the sequence, Miss Maitland dismounted the tumble track with a particular maneuver and unfortunately didn't land correctly. She traveled backwards, but actually beyond the end of this crash mat. So her feet struck the crash mat, but then she continued to tilt backwards.
Backwards onto, like towards her butt, kind of.
Yep.
Yeah.
But not her butt, unfortunately, striking her head on the concrete floor beyond the crash mats.
Oh. Yeah.
Where there were no scatter mats placed, because those scatter mats were otherwise only on the sides, not the end.
Yeah. So she's traveled more than 3 meters.
She traveled approximately 3 meters and the mats were 3.6. So she landed at that 3 meter point and then continued to tumble over.
So her head's traveled more than 3 meters.
Mm. Yes. This caused her to become immediately unconscious.
Yeah.
An ambulance was called and she was intubated on site, ventilated at that point and transferred to the town.
So she was having difficulty breathing.
Or she wasn't.
Or she wasn't breathing.
Basically what there's a Glasgow coma scale where it rates your level of consciousness. And at on site, she had a level of 3, which means she wasn't opening her eyes. She wasn't responding to voice.
Isn't 3 the lowest?
3 is the lowest you can get. Yeah. Not opening eyes, not responding to painful stimuli and not verbalizing in any way whatsoever. In the emergency department, she was reviewed by a neurosurgeon. So ultimately, there were calls happening between the ambulance and the emergency department, and they actually called a neurosurgeon. So the neurosurgeon was already on site when the ambulance arrived at Townsville Hospital. That's how severe this was and concerning this was. She was not responsive at this point and found to be in a deep coma. She also had significant bleeding from both ears.
That's not good.
Yeah. A CT scan showed that there was widespread swelling of her brain and a terminal brain herniation, which basically means that the brain has swelled so much that it is then
pressing against the skull.
Yeah. And so where your brainstem comes out of the base of your skull towards your spine, the brain was essentially pushing that way because that's the only way it can go.
It doesn't have any more room. Because, don't they usually drill holes in people's skulls to try and relieve pressure?
Yes. And from that CT scan, it was determined that this injury was not amenable to surgical intervention such as that.
Because you really need your brainstem for key life
functioning. Yeah. Absolutely. She also had significant base of skull fracture. So again, where your spinal cord can exit from there, the whole base of that was all just fractured and broken as well. The prognosis was assumed to be incredibly poor, but I presume due to her age, plans overnight were to aggressively attempt to resuscitate her brain overnight. Mm-hmm. So do all the things that they absolutely possibly could either way
and to try to improve things. And this was in Townsville?
Yes.
Wasn't it? Yeah.
And Townsville does have quite a big hospital in the big ICU. So it's not a, whilst it is regional, it's still got a
got
big
all the facilities.
Center. Yeah. And, you know, it still had a neurosurgeon available, which is, you know, not something that you would expect outside of those big major facilities. Unfortunately, despite attempts at treating her overnight, she still deteriorated the next morning and died in those early hours of the next morning. On autopsy, she was found to have extensive scalp bruising and skull fractures. There was approximately 27 grams of blood found within the spaces around her brain.
Ooh.
Yeah. But 27 grams is like, it's not that much. You know,
it's
like
not a lot, but like,
but when you think about how you want it to be. Tightly packed your brain is in your skull.
Yeah. It was enough to kill her. And that's even though she had it coming out of her ears as well. So that's probably less than had
what actually
been.
There. Yeah.
Toxicology detected the presence of THC at a level of 0.014 milligram per kilogram.
I'm assuming that's not very much.
This level was determined by an expert witness to equate to mild cannabis intoxication.
Yeah,
so there was a whole bunch of discussion around like how the levels are going to change when you die and how they get processed and all and where it was taken from, blah, blah, blah. But ultimately the expert came to this opinion that it was mild cannabis intoxication.
And were they able to determine how long before her lesson she had been using?
It didn't go into any of that, and it didn't – like the coroner didn't actually explore or find any witnesses to be like, yeah, she used cannabis and, you know, she probably used it at this point or whatever. Mm-hmm. The expert witness just said it was more than to be attributed just to passive smoking alone. So it's not like it was just exposure.
So she had used cannabis at some point.
And that it was probably at a level similar to just above – your level of driving intoxication. So if we count driving intoxication as above 0.05, she was probably around that, maybe just a little bit more in terms of the impairment it might have given her in terms of her judgment and her psychomotor skills.
So you're saying that it was, and there was enough
to affect her
potentially affected her, depending on how used to using cannabis she was and
if she was a regular user, it may not have had any effect.
Yes. Yeah.
It's the same with the alcohol use.
Yeah. Yeah. And so none of the witnesses from the evening in the class reported that they had been suspicious or concerned about her behavior or really her motor skills on the evening that would have mm-hmm. affected her fall.
Mm-hmm.
So yep. it's unclear how much of an effect it had on this, but it was yep. an interesting note to say that there potentially was some intoxication, which ultimately the inquest then didn't really touch on too much more that I would have thought potentially could have been a recommendation that we recommend that you at least discourage people from showing up intoxicated to these classes.
I'm sure there would have been some sort of like policy.
But it just didn't state that they, you know, in fact had one. That like when you sign up, you just, you know, you are saying that you'll come not intoxicated to our mm-hmm. classes, you know, or we do not recommend you come intoxicated. Like even just that statement, right?
Because I'm just trying to think like even with those classes that we did a few years ago with the aerial stuff, like were we required to
not be intoxicated at the time? I don't remember.
If we were required to sign anything.
Yeah, I was going to say if you signed a liability waiver, it probably would have some clause in there.
I'm sure
to protect their own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the facts of how she died and what was found. And the inquest explored issues around what manoeuvre was being performed and sort of the safety of this and the supervision of that, the safe use of the tumble track itself, and then how the gym went about risk assessments and trying to ensure the safety of the participants that were using the gym. So in terms of the manoeuvre, look, there are a lot of gymnastic terms that I did not understand, but I have broken them down into she essentially – and was reported by a number of witnesses trying to do a sequence that involved three backwards flips and then a final flip where she landed on the crash mat.
Okay.
I'm not going to go into any more details than that because
I will not understand it.
Yeah, yeah. They were like, she was doing some sort of flick and
she was basically trying to land backwards, so facing the trampoline.
A series of flips landing on her feet.
She did some cool stuff because I imagine it would have looked spectacular and would have been really amazing, not something that I could do. But, didn't land it. So during these practices, the coach had given her advice on how to complete the sequence with the inclusion of a twist at the final flip that she did.
Oh, so that would mean that she took off facing forward towards the crash mat and then during her flip she would have twisted
as well
to land facing the trampoline. Yeah, to the trampoline.
Yeah.
Which would add a level of difficulty.
That hence she was unsuccessful incorporating this twist, resulting in her then, leaning too far backwards at great speed and momentum, causing her to land at the very back of the crash mat and fall to the point where she was unable to put her hands out to protect her in this moment.
So did she actually land it as in, like, did she land on her feet at all or did she just completely?
It's a bit not super clear from the witness reports, but it says that she did at least make contact with the mat.
But then so still a part of her body made contact with the mat, whether it was her feet or her butt or
whatever. But she was moving in such momentum that it just
didn't matter.
And she was facing backwards.
Yeah.
As so in, like, could she have even...
It was in the back of her head. It describes she hit the side of her head. So, again, I think in that twisting motion, it's
so she's
not,
really not landed it. Like, she's not even facing the correct way.
So the coach provided evidence that she had been successful in performing the sequence before. However, the coroner ended up trusting the evidence given by the person she was training with over the coach because, the coach was not solely focused on her in that session. Mm-hmm. He was supervising both her and a whole bunch of people versus she was directly working with herself and this one other person. They were alternating between themselves doing runs down the tumble track.
Yep.
And that person stated that she definitely hadn't successfully completed that sequence with that additional twist in that evening.
Yep.
And so this was her first time attempting it. And, you know, if that was the case, there was some sort of consideration of, well, if she was trying to incorporate that new thing, should the coach have been like directly supervising her and that kind of thing? But then the person she was with also sort of gave this implication that it might have been impulsive at the time that she just – then on that particular run added it in. So how the coach could have necessarily known or predicted that as well is hard.
And it's also like what kind of, because I think, didn't we talk about this in the lion dancing one as well. Like, what kind of intervention would have actually successfully helped them in this situation?
Mm. So later on, I talk about like people overshooting that mat and everything, and it's talked about. No, it's okay. I remember one of the other coaches stated that, you know, when someone was learning something new, they would stand at off the side of the crash mat and be there as a spotter.
Yeah,
and so potentially if the coach had been there at a spotter, would he have caught her before she did that flip and hit the ground,
mm-hmm.
or slowed her momentum in some way, because he would have seen that she wasn't going to make it and she wasn't going to land it successfully.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're trying to supervise 10 people, when someone is doing that in an adult class where you're kind of given the freedom to do things yourself, where the expectation is you know your own ability, the expectation essentially seems like it was ask when you need help, not expect them to help you because you're learning.
Yeah.
And that makes it difficult.
Could she have done this previously in a different session, or like back when she was a level six gymnast?
Well, that's what the coach was implying, that he had seen her at previous classes successfully do it. So
that is entirely possible.
Yeah. And you can have a day where you're off. You don't 100% of the time land things in gymnastics. Yeah. So, you know. I think it's kind of irrelevant whether she'd landed it before. Yeah. It's that if she was still learning it and there was a concern that she wouldn't land it, should someone have then been spotting her?
Yeah.
Or should there have been a mat where the concrete was?
Probably.
So talking about the tumble track and its safety. So Gymnastics Townsville was established in December 1996, so it had been established for a while. It was administered by an elected management committee and affiliated with both Gymnastics Queensland and Gymnastics Australia, which are overarching bodies that, you know, govern the smaller sites. And the programs were managed through a hierarchy of accredited coaches, most of which were filled by like volunteers or parents or supporting club members and other people that had interest in gymnastics. So, you know, I guess that just sort of shows that, you know, and when was this, like early 2000s, where it was, it's a community center. It's it's not a paid high level elite athletic facility, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. It's people who are there to enjoy the sport and help other people.
And don't get me wrong, like they're obviously still, you know, progressing through levels and all that kind of stuff, but
yeah, but it's not like the AIS, like the Australian Institute of Sport or anything like that. It's you know, very much novices.
Yeah. And so it just shows that some of that risk assessment and training and all that kind of stuff was probably a bit more laxed than something like the AIN. So the tumble track had been purchased and installed about a year prior to Mrs. Maitland's death. It was just installed by the coaches and the staff of the gymnastics centre during a working bee situation. And at the inquest, it was confirmed that the installation was correct, at least. But that was despite there being no instructions or material provided to them to show how to install it correctly. So at the inquest, the installation was confirmed to be correct, despite no material with installation instructions reported to be available to the coaches during the working bee.
Now, was this gymnastics area only ever used for gymnastics, or were they moving stuff in and out?
It was a dedicated gymnastics area.
Okay. Yeah. So it's not like it was being used as a basketball court some nights. And
No. It was a permanent setup. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, it was permanently installed in that location. Yep. Okay. The trampoline didn't move.
Yep. Okay, so there's definitely no reason that you wouldn't. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. It's not that someone set it up incorrectly that day.
Yep.
We'll come to some of that anyway. And it wasn't established at the time of the inquest as to like whether instructions manuals were available, like so if you could have looked it up or anything like that, that wasn't even clear. However, an instruction manual was able to be reviewed at the inquest, and they did include things such as the tumble track has more of a spring than most other tumbling surfaces and so should be approached with care. So basically saying that it was bouncier than other sort of track surfaces that gymnasts would normally run on. So there's a couple of other gymnastics running sequences.
Yeah, but they're not. Like, they're mats, aren't they?
They're like softened mats. They're not specifically trampoline spring type material.
Yep.
A shorter and easier approach to a tumbling pass will usually be more than sufficient on the tumble track. So basically stating that you don't need to run as hard and as fast as you would on those other surfaces that are not as bouncy.
Yeah, which makes sense.
Yeah, because you've got more spring.
Yep. Over-rotating tumbling skills on and off the tumble track can be risky and dangerous. Because of the additional inherent risks, it is not recommended that anyone over the age of 18 should use this equipment. So basically warning as a warning against the increased weight and strength of older individuals, meaning that they're at a higher likely likelihood of having more speed and momentum that they might then have a riskier experience on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially if you're used to using the mat type
floor
and you know what inputs you need to put in to make that happen, and then you switch to something that's
bouncier and springier. Yeah. You're gonna jump a lot further and a lot higher.
Yeah.
So none of this was really specifically indicated to the coaches and the people doing the training, because it was expected that the coaches just had a level and understanding of knowledge because they were coaches who've been gymnasts in the past.
Right.
The staff provided evidence at the inquest that no discussion or assessment of how to use the equipment occurred, and no instructions about restrictions or correct mat placement were discussed with any of the coaches.
Okay.
Before Mrs. Maitland's fall, there was a report of one other gymnast having fallen at the end of the tumble track. However, this incident occurred due to the inappropriate removal of those two crash mats that was not checked before that person commenced their sequence down the tumble track.
Oh, so they just weren't there at all. It was just you came to the end of the trampoline and then
and there was
no
crash mat. Yeah,
it was
just
concrete.
And luckily that person was not seriously injured, did not hit their head.
Wow.
This event was reported and was reviewed by the Gymnastics Centre's General Committee, but coaches were not informed of the event other than the coach that was there at the time, and no other actions were taken from that event. It was just like, put those mats back, pretend like that didn't happen. Why they were ever removed from the end of the tumble track makes no sense to me, because they should be a permanent fixture at the end of a thing that you run down to jump off of.
Yeah, considering the trampoline is a permanent fixture.
Yeah. Why they could be moved makes no sense to me. A number of coaches stated during the inquest that they had never experienced the requirement for additional mats to be placed beyond the end of the crash mat. However, a number of coaches did accept that there was a possibility that this could happen, and that depending on the sequences that you were doing, that therefore you could overshoot those crash mats. With one coach stating that she at times would be positioned at the end of the crash mat to be able to grab a gymnast in the event that they had too much height at the end of the tumble track.
Mm.
But of note, that gymnast generally trained girls between the age of 10 and 15. Yeah. And so they would have likely have been smaller in stature and less likely to gain as much momentum.
Yep.
But conversely, then puts down that, like, so even she, when training 10 and 15-year-olds, would sometimes stand at the end there in case she was concerned that they would overshoot. So add an extra 4 years onto that age, and Miss Maitland would have been bigger, stronger, able to gain more momentum.
I wonder, though, if she's going – spotting those 10 to 15-year-olds more from the fact that they are only 10 to 15 and so have less experience.
That
like she's going
well.
By the experience rather than the weight and the height.
Yeah, true.
And even if you don't overshoot per se, like your ability, if you land and then stumble back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And or just like slip that, and fall.
Yeah, like 3 meters is not that far.
And it's just bare concrete. So another coach stated that if certain manoeuvres were being trialled, an additional mat might be placed at the end of the crash mat, so where the exposed concrete was.
Mm.
And during the inquest, it was identified that occasionally one of those scatter mats might have been placed in that position, but not consistently, not fixed in that location, and it would therefore be transferred out around the gym as needed.
The scatter mats, weren't they the ones that were very thin?
Yeah, 5 centimetres.
Would have that done anything anyway in this circumstance?
Yeah, it was a dense 5 centimetre foam, and so the impression I get from reading the inquest is that it would have made a significant difference.
Okay.
She probably would have still had a head injury, don't get me wrong, but it wouldn't have been a severe injury that caused death.
Okay.
But I guess hard to tell entirely.
Yeah, that's right. Like, it really depends how hard she hit the floor and how much that would change.
Yeah. And what angle and...
Mm. Yeah. Investigation immediately after the fall revealed that this mat had in fact been in that location where she struck her head during a class earlier that day, but had subsequently been moved.
Oh.
Yeah. Since the accident, a mat has been permanently located and velcroed down so that it does not get removed. Yeah. And further matting was also placed around the track as well, so that even if you flew off the sides as well to further protect other locations from people having further injuries.
Again, cover up all of the concrete in this gym.
Where you could be jumping and bouncing and springing, and in a way that like could result in you essentially going headfirst down. Like, again, she landed on something and then flew, but still. So then moving on to like how they could have assessed all of their equipment better to have reduced risk to people getting injuries. So following Mrs. Maitland's death, there was a work health and safety review conducted at the Gymnastics Townsville, so that specific location. And during this review, it was identified that there were no risk assessments for any of the equipment conducted, including identifying hazards, assessing associated risks, considering what control measures might be used, such as extra matting or making sure coaches in appropriate positions to support those that are using the equipment. And then additionally, Gymnastics Townsville had no approach to developing or documenting safety procedures available to coaches for incorporating into their lesson plans. So the coroner concluded that there was a need for a better understanding and application of formal safety risk management processes, even in such a like club that, you know, included essentially voluntary staffing.
Mm.
And that each apparatus should be comprehensively risk assessed and any control measures selected to mitigate the risk should be adapted for the level of the particular gymnast as well. Okay. So not only do you have all the mats around in whatever location, but you then should have levels for each lesson plan depending on their ability as to where the coaches might be located or what other things might be implicated to further improve safety for the gymnasts.
Yeah, or even having multiple coaches.
Yeah, class size, yeah. All that kind of stuff. And like the sad part from what I gained from this inquest was essentially they just gave up the adult classes because they were so unstructured that they couldn't really maintain safety appropriately, which made it kind of sad for me because I was like, that would have been so freeing and rewarding for those people that had been gymnasts younger but didn't actually want to like do it at a competitive level in a structured class where you had to go along and were learning specific things across that class. You know, if you'd started at an introductory or a, you know, intermediate class, generally they're still in a structured manner that, you know, have step-by-step instructions.
Yeah.
So I'm sad that they probably then had to really reduce the amount of free time classes that they could do from that because you couldn't adequately maintain safety for those individuals. Yeah. But at the same time, obviously you want safety for people. I think that that's important.
Yes.
So it's sad that they couldn't make both things work.
Yeah.
In response to this death, the Minister for Industrial Relations asked Work Health and Safety to assess the adequacy of safety associated with gymnastic activities in Queensland as a whole.
Hmm.
And this was completed with consultation from Gymnastics Queensland and Gymnastics Australia. So ultimately 25% of clubs in Queensland were assessed between March and May 2011 for both review of their documentation and then with in-class inspections of how they were conducted. 36 improvement notices were issued in this process and the most common related to potential for contact with hard surfaces. So exactly the same reason why Gymnastics Townsville had needed a review. General overall findings from this review found that less than half of clubs conducted risk assessments to identify risks of injury due to layout of equipment. Only 31% of lesson plans stated any level of supervision or coach's position. Less than half of the clubs consulted manufacturers' instructions or equipment suppliers for advice about equipment layout. The risk of contact with all hard surfaces was not controlled in most of the clubs, with only 8% being compliant.
Ooh. Jesus.
Most clubs had appropriate matting in designated areas and on areas surrounding landing areas, but not to a compliance standard.
Right.
Only about 15% of clubs had a risk register identifying risks of injury due to layout of equipment. So recommendations from that included risk assessments should be conducted and for each apparatus and for each level of use to identify hazards and select key control measures to mitigate the risks. The risk assessments should then be used to inform lesson plans, including decisions about level of supervision, progressive skill development, layouts of apparatus, and the positioning of mats and coaches. Lesson plans should be fully documented so that it can demonstrate the adequacy of the club's safety and for the education and trainee of the coaches so that when you're doing this level, you should be doing this level of supervision when you're, you know, at the next level or when you're doing these sequences, etc.
Yeah.
And that should be somewhat regimented across those levels. And that Gymnastics Australia should consider how it might assist clubs to develop these expertise to be able to conduct these assessments because it became clear in the inquest that all of the coaches at Gymnastics Townsville had no concept of what a risk assessment was or how to even conduct one.
That's concerning.
Hmm.
It is, but again, they were volunteers and they were volunteer coaches that just had gymnastics experience. They weren't there at a management level.
That's right.
And so therefore had never been given any of that education.
Yeah.
They were taught how to coach people. They weren't taught how to assess the safety of a gym.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that Gymnastics Australia should review its template lesson plans to include these features and then distribute them available to the rest of the gyms. Gymnastics Australia accepted these findings and considered the recommendations as fair and reasonable. And it was reported in the inquest that redevelopment of coach education programs was underway and a risk register template had been developed for distribution to the centres. Additionally, Gymnastics Australia had engaged safety consultants to assist in reviewing strategies as well as actions underpinning the safety modules for their clubs. While Gymnastics Queensland had reported that it had revised and distributed new lesson plan templates that emphasised and encouraged coaches to consider their positioning during classes. So really, there wasn't recommendations to necessarily come out of this inquest because all of that work health and safety recommendations was essentially being implemented by Gymnastics Queensland and Gymnastics Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And that the coroner felt that both those organisations were continuing with cultural changes to implement and improve safety and risk management recommended from that work health and safety review. So realistically, the coroner didn't actually have much more to add other than detailing this is what happened, this is what's already been recommended, and that they're working to try and make those changes. But it did just really open my eyes to how in those voluntary conditions and those cultural norms of like, well, it's just a community activity, how unsafe it then can become because it's not the priority to that organisation, because it's not the right people in those management positions to really think about that. But that culture is changing now. And, you know, this was 15 years ago. And so, again, that difference in timing does become apparent. You know, it was kind of the norm back then, but things are changing that we do need to be more risk averse and more safety conscious.
Because I do know gymnastics was sort of at its height in, I think, like the 1970s and 1980s in terms of the different stunts, I guess you would say, that they used to perform and things like that. But it was found that a lot of the stuff that some of the females in particular were performing was so inherently dangerous that they've just been banned completely from competition. These sorts of things, they kind of reach like a peak in terms of their risk versus their benefit, and then it sort of started to go the other way now where it's become a lot more protected and people's safety in general has become more important.
Absolutely. But shouldn't it be?
It should be. But like it's funny how it's only been in the last however long.
Yeah.
Since that's two actually decades. Been the people like the forefront of people's minds where they're like, oh, actually,
let's not do that.
Yeah, we let's maybe not them. Do that. Or like let's make sure that we put the adequate amount of mats out at least so that people can perform these stunts. As I mean, there's always going to be inherent risk with flipping your body over itself.
On a trampoline.
Like you're always assuming risk doing that. But like let's
And like it's in hindsight and we look at that picture and we go, there's open concrete. Why is that a thing?
Well, it hadn't been an issue before until that point.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's never an issue until it is.
Exactly.
But now they're trying to preempt that, and that is nice to see that they're trying to say, okay, actually we should look around and go, what could be a risk? How do we try to stop that?
Sometimes I think our society's become too risk adverse, but, you know, like you assume a level of risk every day.
Yeah. Look, don't get me wrong. There's a line between none and too many. That like we have to find some sort of middle ground.
Yeah. And there's informed risk as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in that situation, you would expect there would be systems in place that even if you did land on your head, it wouldn't be as bad.
Yeah.
In this case, there would be mats there.
Yeah.
You wouldn't expect to land on solid concrete.
It's the same thing that happens to me every time I get on a roller coaster and I'm like,
there's inherent risk with this.
There's inherent risk. I'm like, is this a really dumb thing for me to do? But then you're like, oh, I should be fine because the amount of checks and balances that have been done on this ride and the fact that no one else is catapulted out of this particular seat.
Yeah.
Should be okay.
Should be fine.
Should be.
And I mean, I'm sure Mrs. Maitland thought she would be fine because
every other time she's tried to do some new
trick, it's been fine. And potentially every other time she's shown up a little bit intoxicated, she's been fine. You know, like she wasn't necessarily thinking that there were unsafe portions external to the risky activity she was doing in the first place.
Yeah.
Anyway, I thought that was interesting.
Definitely.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.